Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
You ever watch boxing matches before the fight? Usually Hispanic fighters get on their knees and cross themselves and pray to God that they should win the fight. Well, the two guys who work on the other side of the screen know that I do this every day before a show. And I just lifted my hands to heaven and I said, God, give me the strength to answer your call so that I don't fall. That was my little prayer today, and I welcome you to the Savage Nation. I was getting up today, I was saying, well, what am I going to talk about? It's everyone's talked out, they're repeating themselves. Trump, Cruz, Trump. I've done my share of it. I'm not going to do it again. But if I move too far off that topic, the audience moves to baseball or whatever they do. Apparently that's all people want to hear. But that's not what I do. So I go to the screen, see the inbox, and my producer, Robert, sends me a link to Salon.com, which is a left-wing publication, an online publication. And I was shocked to read the following. It says, the talk radio godfather of Trumpomania, what Michael Savage can tell us about America's white working class by Robert Henley. I thought it would be a typical left-wing illiterate hit piece, but it wasn't. It's not exactly complimentary, but I'm going to read pieces of it to you and ask you a couple of questions. But first I have to tell you, I was also surprised when one of my publishers sent me this article from MTV News, of all places. Hell's been empty, they write. Welcome to Donald Trump's America. It's been waiting for you for quite a while. And then they go into a long story about Michael Savage and Donald Trump. And again, although they don't like my politics, they've listened for years. And what's interesting to me is that Salon and MTV are writing about Michael Savage in almost complimentary terms. I have to ask you, what are they trying to do? What are they out to do? Why do you think all of a sudden these left-wing publications have noticed me? Both of the people who wrote these articles said they've listened to me for years. And why is it you see nothing about Michael Savage on so-called conservative sites about the power of this audience? They know that there's a power in this audience. MTV News knows it. Salon knows it. They recognize that they don't like my politics, but they know the audience is huge, and I've been around a long time and have influenced a lot of people. They reference borders, language, and culture. How come you don't see that on sites such as Breitbart, Newsmax, or No Links to Drudge? What happened? What has suddenly happened in the world of blogs and websites that now the left wing is noticing me in not a complimentary way, by the way, but in an almost respectful way, while Breitbart, Newsmax, and others don't recognize me at all. They're doing the Soviet on me and calling themselves above the law and better than everybody else. Why would Salon and MTV News write about Michael Savage in almost glowing terms? What are they actually trying to achieve? What do you not see? What do you think they know about the power of the Savage audience? Do you think this disrespects the fact that the media cartel has been broken apart, that the fault lines have been broken, that there are new fault lines going on in America's media? I believe so. Another topic today will be on Hillary and Sanders, the communist, where Sanders says Hillary is not qualified. A day after I said the Hillary campaign should declare that Sanders is not qualified for his anti-Semitism. That's a big question. But first I want to do this. By the way, before I do it, Salon is a blog that has not been profitable in its entire history. It exists based on venture capitalists from global agitators, or it wouldn't exist at all. And the same is true, by the way, for Breitbart. It's a result of global agitators on the other side. They fund most of these websites. I don't live on secret funding. I have no secret campaign cash that keeps the Savage Nation afloat. You remember the movie To Live and Die in L.A.? Well, every day that I get on this show, I live and die on the radio. It's up to you. Either you listen to this show and you share what you heard on your social networks and you buy the products that are advertised, or I don't live. I'm not on the air. But apparently it's working. So having said that, I want to take some time out to read some of the pieces out of the Salon.com article, because most of you won't link it yourself. I linked it on MichaelSavage.com. The talk radio godfather of Trumpomania, what Michael Savage can tell us about America's white working class. That's why I'm reading it. White working class. So let me start with the top. Republicans who want to sideline Donald Trump may think that all of the GOP's problems can be solved by his defeat. But Trump did not cause the great GOP divide. He's merely exploiting it. At its core, the alienation of the party's elite from a huge portion of its base stems from a deep sense of betrayal these voters feel at the hands of the Republican politicians they sent to Washington. Can anyone listening to this show disagree with one word of that opening from a, quote, left-wing Salon.com? It's more clearly written than anything I've seen on Town Hall, Breitbart, or the other members of the cartel. They're all on the other side, you know, of the cartel. They make believe I don't exist. So why is it the Salon can write something honest and they can't? I'll continue. All too often, these GOP incumbents, just like their Democratic colleagues, would cash in on their public service to make fortunes as lobbyists, doing the bidding of big business and even of foreign interests, pushing global trade deals that dismantled tens of thousands of factories and idled millions. At the same time, this disaffected base watched as the national government bailed out the banks, squandered the military, abused veterans, built up China, and ran up the national debt in the process. Can anyone listening to this show tell me that that is a left-wing opinion? That's something you'd expect to read in a right-wing publication, isn't it? But no, my friends. Journalism is journalism is journalism. Pure observation is pure observation is pure observation. What you're getting here is almost more reality than you're getting from Breitbart, Newsmax, and the other harbingers of conservatism who make believe Michael Savage is no longer a phenomenon. So they continue. So they write, so just what portion of their oath of office did they keep? Long before Trump's arrival on the scene, they write, it was conservative talk radio host Michael Savage, the ideological godfather of Trumpism, who galvanized this insurgency. Savage gave it a voice and a powerful narrative. One that proved extremely helpful to those like iconoclastic Senator Ted Cruz, who rose to prominence taking on the very same GOP Beltway insiders that Donald Trump is now making so nervous. But years before Trump, Savage had already redefined the nature of the American political landscape when he blew up the Republican Party establishment's hold on its working class base. Trump can come or go, but this insurgency has a depth and breadth that can't be ignored. I want to pause there for a minute because I've said that to myself. What if Trump doesn't make it to the finish line? It doesn't matter to me. I care about America. I'll still be here. I mean, God willing, I'll still be on the radio. I want him to get there, but if he doesn't, it's not the end of my career. I've not been promised anything. Will I support Cruz? We'll have to wait and see. I'm not sure. I may sit the election out. If I think he's just the front for the CFR and he's going to do nothing on the borders or language or culture, I will not vote for him. How's that? No, I will not vote for him because I'll get Hillary in a pair of pants. Right now, it's either Hillary in a pantsuit or Hillary in a pair of pants, so far as I can tell. So he continues, Robert Henley. It's a very interesting article, not just because he calls me the godfather of Trumpomania, but if it was not well written, if there was no literary element to this, I wouldn't waste your time. So I'll read it. He's a left-wing writer for Salon.com who says, I have been a longtime listener to Savage. Listen to this, because I think that as a journalist, you risk being blindsided if you ignore someone to whom millions of your fellow Americans are tuning in. Wow. Would it be great if we saw one conservative blogger say that about a liberal host, a liberal writer? We don't hear it, do we? I'm afraid to tell you that there's almost no journalism on the side of the right. Almost none whatsoever. It's all hackneyed yellow journalism of the type I despise on the left. They never listen to the other side. They don't hear the other side. They never have anything good to say about the other side. Well, why is it that this writer can say I've been a long-time listener, because I think that as a journalist, you risk being blindsided if you ignore someone to whom millions of your fellow Americans are tuning in. And then he says, I saw the rise of Trump coming several months ago, precisely because I know how deep the support runs in so much of America for Savage's nativist mantra that the very survival of the nation is threatened by the erosion of our borders, language, and culture. How is it that a left-wing salon can get it right and call it borders, language, and culture, while Breitbart in particular never says borders, language, and culture? Why is that? I'll go on. Between American multinationals who do everything and anything to avoid taxes and American politicians who so often trade on their office to amass vast fortunes. Oh, God. I laid awake last night thinking about Dianne Feinstein. I was boiling in my bed. I was boiling in my bed about Feinstein and the others in San Francisco. The nepotism is greater than that of Napoleon III. Regular working class Americans feel abandoned. For decades, as businesses have increasingly exploited undocumented immigrants for cheap labor or moved operations out of the country entirely, these voters have become resentful, watching their wages stagnate and full-time jobs with benefits become scarcer by the day. For many of them, Savage's Savage Nation is a kind of sanctuary. For many of them, Savage's show is a kind of sanctuary. In his running commentary, he's gone after the duopoly of Republican and Democratic elites. While Trump was still playing nice in polite society and donating money to Democrats, Savage was building a huge audience, skewering political correctness, and going after what he perceived as the excesses of both parties. Now remember where this is being written. It's not being written in some right-wing blog. No, you're not finding it on a right-wing blog. It's a left-wing blog. Savage calls liberalism a mental disorder and blames it for the disintegration of a national cohesion that gave America the backbone to conquer fascism in the Second World War and the persistence to outlast the Soviet Union in the Cold War that followed. For Savage, the classical foundations of Western civilization are innately superior to whatever else is out there. This is great writing. This is something that you would expect to read on a so-called conservative blog. But you don't read it there, do you? Because they're part of a cartel. I will come back and read from Salon.com and their great article. It's not entirely complimentary. Entitled The Talk Radio Godfather of Trumpomania, What Michael Savage Can Tell Us About America's White Working Class. And I will then read, strangely enough, an article from MTV News that, from the point of view of an entertainment writer, got it exactly right as to how I reach my audience. In other words, the writer doesn't like my politics in the MTV News art, as you'd expect, but they understand the art. More than I can say for the so-called right-wing blogs. So again, I ask you a question as I read this article. If you want to read it yourself, go ahead, make my day. Why would left-wing sites such as Salon and MTV News write about me in almost glowing terms? What do you think they're trying to do? And why do you think I am blackballed by conservative sites? Why? Well, you know why I'm blackballed on Fox News. That's a well-known fact. But now it's spread to Breitbart, Newsmax, and other major sites that used to cover me. What is it that I represent that they're frightened of? I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646. But I'm going to continue reading from the Salon and MTV News articles I mentioned. But I want to say this. You know, no one's ever written a biography of me. This is so... Wait until you hear he talks about the Dubai ports deal. Here is a liberal writer for Salon who recognizes that I stopped the Dubai ports deal along with Chuck Schumer, and gives me credit for it, doesn't smear me for it, recognizes the audience's power. Again, no links to the article on Breitbart, Newsmax, or any of the other so-called conservative outlets. Why? What's going on? What's happened? See, the world is changing in so many different ways. There's no longer a single fault line of left and right. There are many fault lines now running through the United States of America. And my personal analysis of this It's so long. I can't do it in a minute. You know, one of these days I'm going to do an internet TV show or something. I don't mean a TV show. An internet special for you on my website for free, not $59 a year. It'll be for free. Because the message is what's important. And in this long, ability for me to talk to you in a long format, I'd be able to express myself a little differently than I have now. The pressure's overwhelming. 3-minute breaks, 4-minute breaks. You know, without them, there's no radio. Remember that. So during the breaks, I'd rather that you listen to the advertisers and try to patronize them. Let's not forget that. This is not NPR. We don't live on government grants. We're not provided with a grant from the government where we can do nothing and attract people for no reason and exist. Without my advertisers, I don't exist. So I want to go back to the article in a minute. But the fault lines, as I say, are so pronounced. I believe that these writers in Salon and MTV are terrified of what's happening in their own country. They themselves recognize that they're liable to be pushed aside in their own country. They recognize they could be pushed out of their own country. I don't mean physically removed from their nation, meaning made irrelevant in the coming America that's being reformed by people that we can't even put our fingers on. We know who some of the puppeteers are. We know George Soros is the most evil man in modern American history. We know that if we had a rational government, this government would have investigated him a long time ago, not only for his money trading, but also for his inordinate influence on American politics. If we had a Republican Party, they would have had hearings on George Soros. But we don't have a Republican Party, do we? Okay, that's old news. What's new news is news you can use on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I'm getting such incredibly interesting callers on the question I asked. Please stay on the line, because I need to read a few more paragraphs from the Salon.com article in order to establish a basis for conversation. Okay, so let me continue. Savage will go on populist rants denouncing U.S. multinationals for outsourcing tech jobs. He has zeroed in on the bipartisan tradition of elected officials that go on to enrich themselves by doing the bidding of corporations and even foreign interests. Savage is a raconteur of many parts with roots in New York City where he grew up. He is a best-selling New York Times author, has a master's degree in medical anthropology, and a PhD from the University of California at Berkeley in epidemiology and nutrition sciences. How come they got that right? He is an avid conservationist and animal lover, yet dismisses global warming as a hoax. How come they got that right? Why do I have to embrace the global warming scam run by gangsters bigger than the five families of New York, when I know it's fraudulent science? What, I can't love animals and know the truth? I love animals because I think they shouldn't be abused and beaten and starved and used in dogfights and sold for meat in China. And I believe the Chinese who buy them should be hung by their necks until dead. Because in China, that's why they're killing the elephants. Do you understand that? So that some low-life bourgeoisie in China could show off a tusk. If we had an Interpol, they'd go into the houses that are buying the ivory and arrest the people buying it and put them in prison because they're the end user of this illicit trade in ivory. But that's not in the article. His extemporaneous musings about his daily comings and goings, his 11-pound poodle Teddy. Thanks, Ted. I hope his agent doesn't read this because it'll cost me something. And about his days growing up in working-class New York are poignant and display a rich emotional arc. How come a left-winger can write a thing like that? I haven't seen anything like this on any of the so-called conservative sites. There's no writing. It's all hackneyed yellow journalism. Here we go. Unlike his right-wing colleagues that rant on politics exclusively, Savage's dynamic range makes him engaging company. Thank you. But it's true, I'm a raconteur, and I do have a dynamic range. Thank you for hearing it. The New Yorker heard it first. Because the guy who writes for the New Yorker, the article on me in 09, Khalefa Sena was formerly a music critic for the New York Times, and he knows what music sounds like. So he has range. He just doesn't listen to three notes or one string of a banjo. He can talk to listeners about what he had to eat and drink the night before, and in the process share the vicissitudes of growing older with millions intimately. He's speaking to you and only you, especially if you fit his key demographic, the disaffected white conservative voter. Back in a flattering 2009 New Yorker profile, Savage's show was described as one of the most addictive programs on radio and one of the least predictable. That's true. And yes, I do talk about food. In fact, I just ate during the break. My assistant brought in two meals from the local Chinese restaurant. I couldn't decide whether to go vegetarian or pure beef, so I got one of each. Did you ever do that? So, in other words, I ate the tofu and eggplant dish, low oil and no sugar, in order to satisfy the angel on my right shoulder. The devil on the left shoulder was jumping up and down saying, put down that fork, dig into the beef. You really need the beef. You need the meat. You need the meat. Your brain is... And so I ate both at the same time. It's the yin and the yang of eating. It's a special trick that I have. So he goes on. I first started listening to Savage back in 06 when I was a reporter for National Public Radio affiliate WNYC. Listen to this very carefully. Assigned to cover a press conference convened by Senator Charles Schumer. Schumer was sounding the alarm about the Bush administration's approval of a $6.8 billion deal to have Dubai Ports World, owned by the government of the United Arab Emirates, take over operations at the ports of New York, New Jersey, Baltimore, New Orleans, Miami, and Philadelphia. Critics of the deal, like Schumer, pointed out that despite the close relationship between the United States and the UAE, two of the 9/11 hijackers who had UAE passports also used UAE banks, and that the UAE government was one of the handful of nations in the world to recognize the Taliban's dominion over Afghanistan. The port transaction had been approved on an expedited basis by the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States, an interagency panel convened by the Secretary of the Treasury for the purpose of determining if the sale of American assets to overseas-based companies is or isn't in the best interest of America's national security. But all too often in these deliberations, he writes, the commercial interests beat out both the consideration of national security and the long-term economic well-being of the American worker. This time it would be different. As I listened to Schumer, not far from the site of the World Trade Center, I was struck by the seeming incoherence of the Bush administration's quick approval of the deal and their post-9/11 homeland security imperative, which they had used to reorganize American society while putting the nation on a trajectory of perpetual war. Even as the rest of the media was stumbling around to flesh out the details of the port deal, Michael Savage was charging to the air like a 21st century Paul Revere, dubbing the deal Portgate and urging his millions of loyal listeners to take to the ramparts and loudly register their disapproval. The globalists had to be stopped. Each day, Savage turned the heat up on the Beltway, recounting how the sell-off of another critical piece of U.S. infrastructure to Arabs was being facilitated by lobbyist traders from both parties. The Washington Post reported that Dubai Port World was enlisting the likes of former Senator Bob Dole and former Congressman Tom Downey and his wife, former EPA Administrator Carol Brown, are both Democrats. At first, the Bush White House, clueless about the outright rebellion that awaited them, defended the deal. Anyway, I won't read the whole paragraph. By the time Savage was done hammering the Bush administration over Portgate, the White House's only refuge was to say President Bush was only aware of the deal after it was approved. The deal had produced something that was by then already exceedingly rare in Washington. An overnight bipartisan outrage. Congress stampeded to stop the deal. In the end, Savage prevailed, and Dubai Ports World went packing. For the swelling ranks of the Savage Nation, that was the beginning of the end for the Bush brand of mercantile republicanism. Savage, elected by nobody, had moved the nation and stopped the deal that all the smart money was convinced would sail through. Savage had undermined a sitting Republican president with a big chunk of the base that had elected him. Savage has been assailed as a racist for frequent comments he's made about Islam, Arabs, and the undocumented. But as we have seen more recently with Donald Trump, the more over the top his rhetoric has become, the more popular he has become as well. I won't editorialize on that. These days, Savage's hate and vilification of President Obama is so unrelenting that it often crosses over into being disrespectful of the institution of the presidency itself. Duh. Excuse me, that goes without saying. Obama has disrespected the presidency. He has made it into a laughing stock. Anyway, you get the picture. So the article is in Salon.com. It's linked on MichaelSavage.com. Nowhere else can you find it, because I've been blacklisted by all the so-called conservative outlets. The talk radio godfather of Trumpomania, what Michael Savage can tell us about America's white working class. And I'll read the MTV article in the next hour, because I was shocked by that when my publisher sent it to me. I couldn't believe it. It's not quite as well written, but it's interesting. So I ask you again, why would Salon and MTV News suddenly write about me in almost glowing terms? What are they trying to do? Why do you never see anything about me on so-called conservative sites, such as Breitbart, Newsmax, and others? Why are there no links on Drudge? The article came out 2 weeks ago in the New York Times about the power of talk radio in this election. Why was that not linked on the Drudge Report? Because I was featured in it. Because it was my picture, not a picture of someone that you, let us say, would expect to represent talk radio, but doesn't anymore. I do. And so, my friends, I turn to you, because you are the Savage Nation. Why are they doing this? My friend Jack, Dr. S, says they're hedging their bets. They focus on issues that Trump and Sanders overlap on. If Trump loses the Cruz, they want to seduce disgruntled Trump voters to Sanders and vice versa. Well, Jack always thinks in a very creative way. Thank you for that, Jack. 855-400-7282 is the phone number if you care to chime in on this. Let's look at some of the callers now. WJR, John, why do you think they're writing about me?
Good afternoon, Dr. Savage. I think they're trying to tell their writers, the writers are trying to tell their audience, you better wake up. The man's saying something.
Do you think that these writers, although they work for left-wing outlets, are worried about their own future in the because of what they've created?
Yes, I do, and I think they're trying to warn the children. I'm an older man, and I'm just thinking, I'm looking at I remember MTV coming in, and now they're warning that generation. Hey, we messed up, maybe. The trees fell in the woods, and we didn't hear them.
I wonder if that's true. I wonder if they could ever wake up to their own damage. But I do appreciate your insights. I wish that were true. I don't know. WDRC in Connecticut. Daniel, why suddenly the coverage by left-wing sites of Michael Savage? What's going on?
Good afternoon, Dr. Savage. Thank you for taking my call. I have in the past read Sun Tzu, and I believe the liberals have too, and I believe the alleged conservatives or the Republicans have not. And I believe that in doing so, they're realizing that they need to get into the head of whom they deem their enemy, learn how they think, so they can act against them.
So in other words, they're exposing me in the most literate way in order to tell the people on the left that they should be more like me?
But they should be aware of you and aware of how you stir the masses of the true conservatives, or I should say your followers. Maybe they're not conservatives. Maybe they're libertarians.
I don't know what they are. You can't define a mass audience in any way. Anyone who does is a fool. There is no way to define who listens to a show. If they think they know, so they're crazy. You could not. So like liberals used to say, everyone who listens to you is an idiot. Well, that's the end of that call. How can you say a thing like that when there's a mass audience? You don't know who's listening. So that disqualifies the statement. And I don't really know who listens to this show. But, you know, you have to think about this. Going back to the beginning of the Savage Nation, San Francisco, KSFO, 1994, no one had ever heard anything like this. I shook the whole Bay Area to its core. It was thought to be a monolithic liberal community. But in this monolithic liberal community, there was still a 33-35% conservative base that was disenfranchised in San Francisco, Marin County, Oakland, San Jose. And they found me, and they resonated with me from a night show on the weekends to a national show eventually. So even in a liberal media, there's a percentage of individuals who don't identify with the message, and they are being spoken to here I think, in these articles. I don't know whether they're trying to broaden their own base or what they're trying to do. I don't think it's just about selling subscriptions to their or getting more links to their article. I don't know what it is. There's something about trying to smear Trump by associating him with me, I think. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that. But I also, maybe I'm not stating my point, but I believe that they're trying to get to know you better to find a way to defeat Trump easier.
Okay.
If that makes any sense.
No, that's pretty good. So I'm sending you what do you prefer, Government Zero or my Teddy and Me book? Which would you like?
I would love Government Zero so I can read it to my children.
Wow, that's some compliment. All right, stay in the line, my good friend. Jim, please get the gentleman's email and address and send it to Doug. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Even as the rest of the media was stumbling around to flesh out the details of the port deal, Michael Savage was charging to the air like a 21st century Paul Revere, dubbing the deal Portgate and urging his millions of loyal listeners to take to the ramparts and loudly register their disapproval. The globalists had to be stopped. Now, I stopped the port deal. This show stopped the port deal. It's one of the single biggest accomplishments of this radio show. I'm looking back on my career. I don't know of anything else that I've achieved politically in other than stopping the port deal. I don't know what else I've stopped. But I have to take that as a little bit of a consolation prize. It would have been terrible turning over our port security to the United Arab Emirates. God knows what they've done behind the scenes now, right? Who knows who's running the ports today? I don't know what they've done under Obama. We could wake up and find out China is running our port security. We could wake up and find out that ISIS itself is running our port security under Obama, and he'd get away with his approval go to 68%. But let me tell you something. Long before the Tea Party, there was the Michael Savage Paul Revere Society Compassionate Conservative Conventions. I look back upon those as some of the greatest days of my political, of my media life. The thousands of people that attended, the cheering, bringing people together, it was astonishing. It was awesome. Luckily, I have all of them on videotape, and no, they're not for sale. No, you can't buy them. They're not for sale on the website. There's no secret code that if you bark a certain way and you can get it. No, not one day they'll be in an archive somewhere, and I'm putting together an archive, like a museum, like an Elvis Presley museum. But instead of putting his airplane in the middle of it, of the Elvis Presley Museum, I don't know what I'm going to put in there. I sold the Cadillac. I never should have done that. I'd like to buy it back from the 65 Caddies. Whoever bought it, God bless you, you made a good deal. He paid 25 grand for it like 3 years ago. I had no room for it in the garage, 19 feet long. Are you kidding me? You can put two sports cars in the same length. Well, not exactly. Two clown sports cars, maybe. Long before Wounded Warriors, there was Michael Savage raising and sending hundreds of thousands of dollars to our warriors. And I didn't take 1 cent for overhead. I did not take 1 penny for salary. I did not take 1 airplane ride. I did not buy a hot dog or a single beer with any of the money you ever sent to my legal fund for myself. Ever. Not 1 dime. So long before those things, there was the Savage Nation. So I would say that the show is more relevant today than it ever has been. And the question is, why are these left-wing bloggers or writers or journalists suddenly noticing? What are they trying to do? Good or bad? Devil or angel? Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. The Talk Show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
The channel that melted down the minds of the youth, making them subject to drugs, sex, and rock and roll. Welcome to the program. In hour one, I read from a Salon.com article entitled The Talk Radio Godfather of Trumpomania, what Michael Savage can tell us about America's white working class. It was pretty good, but it raised some questions. You can read it on MichaelSavage.com. It's linked. Or go, through some other site. WorldNet Daily is the only conservative site that still does what they did originally, which is put out conservative messaging. All the others have moved to the center or to the left itself, and they've taken you with them. They want you to believe that they're still wild and crazy. Well, they're not wild and crazy. They're working for some other element here, in my opinion. But let's put that aside, because this is not about sour grapes. This is about tasty, sweet grapes. And here's another tasty, sweet grape. It's not entirely complimentary. It's somewhat put-downish. But some of the lines in it are worth reading. MTV, Kalib Horton. Hell's been empty. Welcome to Donald Trump's America. It's been waiting for you for quite a while. See, they're trying to smash Trump by saying he got a lot of his ideas from me. And some of the writing is very interesting. In fact, if I ever do an autobiography, I would quote liberally. I would quote liberally from the Salon article and quite liberally from the MTV article. And I would quote liberally from the New Yorker profile from 2009. How could you say I would quote conservatively? That would mean I wouldn't put too many quotes in. So I would quote liberally from these publications. I've been asked to do an autobiography. I never have done one. But maybe someday someone will want to write a biography, but they should start with these articles because some of them are good. So the bigger question is, why would MTV and Salon write about me in almost complimentary terms? What are they trying to do? What's about this? What is this about? And so let's take a couple of quick calls, and I know many of you are waiting. WMAL, Joe, welcome to the program. Joe, what's on your mind?
I was reading the article myself as you were reading it, and I'm a liberal, and I'm a longtime listener to your show, and I'm addicted to your show. So I think I have a different perspective on where the Salon article is coming from. I believe it's a compliment, Dr. Savage. I think they're saying, why can't we in the liberal side have more people or anyone that is as interesting, as iconoclastic, as well-read, as well-reasoned as Michael Savage?
Hey, friends, it's a shame you don't live in San Francisco. You may be one of the few people I'd have a drink with. It's amazing to me that, see, I don't give people a litmus test. You know what I care about is their intelligence, their IQ. And the IQ requires the ability to actually listen or to see. And you have both of those qualities. Not because you listen and you like me, but because you actually get the nuance.
Well, thank you. That's quite a compliment, because I've always thought the same thing about you. And in some ways, the more I listen to you, the more I see that this is what makes you click in the world, that you understand how people operate and what they want to do and how they're put together and how they see the world. And this is valuable.
Well, look, I don't know what you do for a living. What can I ask you what your line of work is?
I'm a high school teacher in Baltimore City, and I teach social studies.
Oh, my God. What a tough job that is. So you teach in what we used to call an inner city school?
That's exactly where I teach.
Are you of a different ethnic background than the students?
Oh, yeah. I'm white. I'm Jewish. And I try to click as much as I can with them, show them what the world is made of and why they have to educate themselves, why they have to do well, or the world will just make them a piece of the disaster that's Baltimore. And this is,
you know, it's interesting. I'm a former school teacher, and when I was very young, I taught in all black schools in Jamaica, New York. And it, in many ways, opened my eyes to an awful lot of things, because there's no such thing as a monolithic audience in schools, whether they be black or white or Asian or this. And there's no such thing as a monolithic audience for talk radio. I found the differential in that classroom was quite profound. And I've told the story many times of how the females in the classroom would control the boys who try to act up and wouldn't let me teach. It was the females in that school who threatened the boys that if they didn't shut up and listen, they'd throw them out of the classroom themselves. It was the girls who wanted to learn. Do you know that? And they controlled the guys?
you know, it's similar in my classrooms. I have very good relationships with the girls, and they will stick up for me.
Very interesting. Don't ever get between girls who get into a girl fight in your classroom. I had a teacher friend who made that mistake. He was teaching a seventh grade class next to mine, and he tried to step in between two guys who were having a fist fight. Needless to say, he wound up in a hospital, and they didn't. I don't think things have changed that much in some ways. But, you know, I hear a lot in your voice that we can't discuss. I want to congratulate you for listening to my show, of course. Which book would you refer a copy of, Government Zero or Travels with Teddy?
Definitely Government Zero. I've wanted to read that book for a while.
Okay, stay on the line. We'll be sending that out to you. It's still the most important book of the year for the political season that we are in. And many of the ideas that you're hearing from Ted Cruz and Donald Trump, mainly from Donald Trump, I think can be derived from this book, Borders, Language, and Culture, for sure, and some of my ideas on tariffs, building the wall. They're definitely very popular right now, and I thank you for calling the show. Okay, let's take another caller before I go into the MTV article. I'm having a pretty good time with the callers right now, and I'm wondering what it is that you see, because many of you don't see it the way that caller did, by the way. For example, WMAL, Marion, she sees it the other way. Marion, go ahead, please. What's your viewpoint?
Hey, well, three things. First of all, I was, with regard to the liberal writer, I just want to say maybe all liberals don't have a medical disorder, A. B, or two, nothing unites people more than a common enemy, and they see you as taking on the establishment conservative purists. People, and they, you know, they're jumping on that.
Wait. Let me follow your thinking. You're saying the reason they're somewhat publicizing me, let's use a phrase that's real, that can't be debated. The reason they're somewhat publicizing me is because I attack the, you call purist conservatives, is that it?
Yeah.
So they think that I could be a useful, they think I could be a useful ally in exposing the purists for what they're not?
Yeah, the Republican Party.
Well, they're not purists at all. I mean, I love the Salon guy called them mercantile Republicans, you know, because there's a party only about business, nothing else. It's called mercantile Republicans. That's what it comes down to. They may as well be the Better Business Bureau for the Fortune top five companies. They don't really care about a thing called America. It doesn't exist for the Republican Party any more than it does for Bernie Sanders. Well, I thank you. Would you prefer a copy of Teddy and Me or Government Zero?
I have plenty of Government Zero. I pass it around, but I would love a Teddy book.
Stay on the line. Teddy and Me is on the way. Confessions of a Service Human. I still love the subtitle. I thought that should have been the title, but maybe it's too esoteric. I like the idea of a service human. No one has ever used it before. Look, I've read Steinbeck's Travels with Charlie cover to cover years ago. How many people, leave one open line for a prize. I want to see how literary the audience is. Is there anyone in this audience, I think I covered this once before. Okay, Travels with Charlie, Charles Steinbeck, incredible book. He based that book, Travels with Charlie, on a book written a century before. But it was not Travels with a Dog. Does anyone know what that book title was based upon, who the writer was, and what the animal was? If you have the right answer, call 855-407-282. You know, I like giving kind of questions on the show. It kind of engages the audience. I remember when I was in the seventh grade, my favorite class was the science class because the teacher was the best teacher. First of all, he was a macho man. Secondly, he was a Korean War veteran. In other words, he was tough, and I like tough men. And I related to him because he was a leader, a father figure. And he didn't have that weakness that always turned me off from teachers. I like strength in whatever the form it takes. I like strength. My 10-pound poodle is strong. He's tough. He's not afraid of anything. He's stupid, in other words. He goes running out. I open the door. He goes dashing out. I call him Dancer. He dances out of the door like there's nothing out there that can hurt him. Crazy, of course. But I'm saying, we all have a little bit of the Teddy in all of us, don't we? Don't we have to get up in the morning and go dancing out the door like we're indestructible, like no one can hurt us? We have to act like the poodle. when we know there are many dangers out there. So that's why we love our dogs, because of their nobility and their boldness, right? And somewhat their foolishness in order to go through the universe with that attitude. But that's what we need in order to go through the day. I need that attitude to get on the radio. I need to take the same attitude that I can dance across the airwaves and still have a show at the end of 3 hours and still have an audience, right? So we all learn from our pets or from the waves coming in across the sea. But I'm losing the train of thought. I was trying to tell you something else. The minute I return, when the eggplant and tofu leaves my brain, I'll be able to think. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Well, I'll get back to the Salon and MTV articles, because there's a big message in both of them. I know it's a bit of a setup, I get it. But the thing is, it's not entirely that, because if you read the undertones, you'll see something else. And this is what I see going on in the media right now. There are people who understand nuance, and they don't categorically reject the other side if they actually listen. Unfortunately, you never hear that on our side of the aisle. We hear only didactic, monolithic, stubborn, manipulative, one-party line statements, and it's really a bore as far as I'm concerned, because the country is quite vast politically. And if you're going to sell your message, you better learn how to reach the other side, not call them idiots. Now, I have written liberalism as a mental disorder, because it is. When practiced categorically, when practiced didactically, when practiced in a stubborn, obtuse manner, liberalism is a mental disorder. It's self-destructive. We have a winner, Kathy W. FNR in Virginia. Go ahead, please. What is Travels with Charlie by Charles Steinbeck based upon?
It is based on Robert Louis Stevenson's book, Travels with the Donkey.
How do you know that, Kathy? How did you know that? That's so obscure.
Well, I love donkeys, and I work at a library.
I love it. Okay, so your prize is either Government Zero or Teddy and Me.
Can I have Teddy?
Yes, you're going to get a beautiful Mother's Day gift. Teddy and me. Hi, Teddy. Stay on the line. I'm not going to get sidetracked from the sidetrack, but you have to understand Travels with a Donkey was written in 1879, and it's one of Robert Louis Stevenson's earliest published works, a pioneering classic of outdoor literature. And it was about his 12-day, 120-mile solo hiking journey through a sparsely populated area of a certain mountainous region in south-central France in 1878. So it's about him traveling with a stubborn, manipulative donkey that he could never quite master. It's now considered a hiking and camping outdoors masterpiece. And he wrote this. I just got to read it to you. I know it's a sidetrack. He wrote this. The philosophy behind his book is, for my part, I travel not to go anywhere but to go. I travel for travel's sake. The great affair is to move, to feel the needs and hitches of our life more clearly, to come down off this featherbed of civilization and find the globe granite underfoot and strewn with cutting flints. Alas, as we get up in life and are more preoccupied with our affairs, even a holiday is a thing that must be worked for. To hold a pack upon a pack saddle against the gale out of the freezing north is no high industry, but it is one that serves to occupy and compose the mind. And when the present is so exacting, who can annoy himself about the future? Okay, now you know why Robert Louis Stevenson is still popular to this day. It's called great writing. You understand what I'm saying? There are classics in literature. There are classics in painting. There are classics in music. There are classics in sculpting. And, of course, I don't have to finish that paragraph. There are classics in every endeavor. Adam on WABC, go ahead, please. What's your observation on these sudden articles about me in Salon and MTV?
Well, all I know is that I'm a liberal, and I started listening to you and telling other people about stuff that I hear here, because in general, I find this dissolution of the conservative Republican Party completely captivating. I'm listening to you, and I'm listening after you on my station comes on Mark Levin, who screams the exact opposite about how Cruz is the answer and Trump is a disaster, and it is incredibly captivating, and there's a little bit of schadenfreude mixed in as a liberal, I have to admit.
But, Adam, don't you see the same thing going on the liberal side with Sanders attacking Hillary?
No.
And Sanders saying she's not qualified? And Sanders supporters hating Hillary? Don't you see the same fracture line on your side?
Not at all. I know, I'm very confident that the Sanders supporters or the Hillary supporters will end up backing each other. And, I mean, I can't imagine us having a split convention like it could happen in July.
So you listen to me because you think that I signal the end of the conservative movement?
No, I think you signal a change in the structure of the conservative movement. And it's really interesting to be on the front lines listening to it.
So in a certain grudging way, you enjoy the show?
Yes, I really enjoy the show.
But am I not the uncle that you used to have in your family? Am I not the guy who came to houses in my day? We used to have family dinners on Sunday, and there was always an uncle, like a Dutch uncle, who you'd listen to. He wouldn't stop talking, and you couldn't wait for him to leave because you didn't agree with him. But strangely enough, by the time Wednesday came around, you couldn't wait for the Sunday dinner because you wanted to hear his views again. Am I not that uncle who's missing in your life, Adam?
Maybe. Liberals are very boring. We have a very monolithic set
of... God. Oh, that could be my next book, Liberals Are Very Boring. Why is it? Because you all repeat each other? Is that it? Well, let me tell you something. It's not too different on the other side. Okay, hold on. Send them a free book.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
So, strange things are happening, as they say. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. I read to you from the Salon article, and it's being rewritten now by WorldNet Daily in their own piece, their own coverage, which they think it's an amazing breakthrough and an interesting article, and they're going to put their own spin on why they're writing about me in that way. And I'll have it up soon on michaelsavage.com and worldnetdaily.com. So here's now MTV. Hell's been empty. They write, "Welcome to Donald Trump's America. It's been waiting for you quite a while," by Khalib Horton, MTV. I never read MTV News. I didn't know they even listened to my show. I want to read a few paragraphs. What do you think of it? So Mr. Horton writes, "I grew up in one of those places the news only covers when it catches fire. One of those blue-collar towns where liberals were scarce enough to constitute exotica. If anyone ever saw a Bill Clinton or Al Gore bumper sticker, and that's all politics was bumper stickers, it'd get pointed out every single time, usually with a nihilistic laugh, as if to say that person's life must have taken every wrong turn imaginable. Moderates did not exist. Politics was a game of how loudly you could agree with your neighbor and who could get over to the right first and fastest." He writes, "There are towns like mine in every corner of this country and all over in between. Towns where conservative ideology evolves without natural predators. Where the government is definitely coming any minute now to take all of our guns away. Donald Trump has crushed his opponents in towns like those." He writes, "For the most part, those responsible for conducting our national conversation like to pretend there's something strange about all this, like there's no precedent for Trump's rise in rhetoric, apart from pro wrestlers or fascist regimes, like Trump metastasized out of nowhere, a newly discovered disease." Now, the author, Khalib Horton, is trying to make a few points, and it's not all complimentary by any means, but he's trying to outmaneuver his fellow liberal writers who were trying to write off Trump as a flash in the pan, a clown, an anomaly. He's trying to show you that, no, he's not an anomaly. He does represent a forgotten part of America that's still quite potent. Now let's get back to the article itself. "Trump's rhetoric," he writes, "is not absurd. It's been around. There are precedents. Working-class conservatives have been drawn to entertaining and fear-based shows of strength for a while now. The best recent reference point for this is right-wing talk radio, and the man most emblematic of its effects is Michael Savage. If you're reading this on MTV News, you might not know who I'm talking about. Michael Savage is a Bronx native with a nationally syndicated, incredibly popular talk radio show, The Savage Nation. Sometimes he writes books with titles like Liberalism is a Mental Disorder, Trickle Down Tyranny, he omits Government Zero. They are books a kid in the right kind of town." I love this writing. They're the kind of books a kid in the right kind of town might find on the bookshelf of an uncle who knows where all the Air Force bases are. I'm telling you, I enjoy literature. Even if it's negative about me, I'll laugh. I enjoy movies produced by Martin Scorsese, even though I think he's a dirtbag for promoting violence. I enjoy the movies. Even though I think Harvey Weinstein should be tried for war crimes against the national psyche and the psyche of the world, I enjoy his movies. There are books a kid in the right kind of town might find on the bookshelf of an uncle who knows where all the Air Force bases are. You know, next to a Time Life commemorative volume of moon landing photos and a decorative encyclopedia set. I kind of think that's so, well, that's so Norman Rockwell. I mean, I got the picture. His books get pretty good numbers. They routinely land on the New York Times bestseller list. See, at least he added that. Savage long ago spotted a market for stroking the egos of disenfranchised white conservatives. He's been in that racket ever since self-publishing his first book, The Death of the White Male, in 1991. But merely, and this is the important sentence follows, but merely pandering to your audience doesn't get you his kind of numbers and staying power. You have to be entertaining. And Savage has a strong grasp of how to make a sentence funny and dramatic and human. His language is colorful. He's a personality. That's how he hooks you. So I'll read a little bit more. Then he pummels you over the head, humiliates and shames you with three words, borders, language, and culture. America will implode, he tells you, if we don't take extremely aggressive measures to preserve all three. To Savage, maintaining the white American status quo is our primary moral obligation as citizens. He repeats this as loud and as often as he can. Savage has this down to a kind of science, and it works. His fans treat him like a philosopher king. The Amazon reviews for his books are brimming with regular people hungry for a straight shooter who calls it like he sees it. It's an easy performance to fall for. Listen to what he says. It's an easy performance to fall for. That means he fell for it, and then he checked himself and said, I shouldn't believe this guy because he's not me. He's not like me. He's not on my side. He doesn't support no borders, no language, no culture. He doesn't support men and girls' bathrooms. I mean, that's what he's saying, right? He said his message is bile, his words are poison, but his voice is golden. He's like a preacher. You could mathematically prove he was wrong on any given topic, and he would sing his way around you, and make your resistance small and embarrassing through pure crowd control. It's a trick of melody, a combination of emotions evoked and pictures painted. Savage is singing for you, not making an argument. There's a decent chance he's BSing everybody, that he just saw money for the taking in an underexplored demographic and then used stagecraft to lock it down forever. But the facts don't matter. He's his own man. He's a lone gunslinger. That's what matters. And then he explains how I do it. And he'll play the same clip over and over again. Then he'll take a beat and off mic breath and yell, liar, over and over again. His riffs escalate in out of body fury. Sorry. His riffs escalate in out of body fury on borders and language and culture and all these liars until he exhausts his creative energy and starts talking about what he had for lunch. I just did talk about the tofu and eggplant and the Mongolian beef, both dishes. Spent and disoriented like he ran a marathon and is sweating out the muscle shakes under his finish line space blanket. Savage makes Fox News at the molten core of his belligerence sound borderline Victorian. I told you it's good writing. It doesn't mean I believe every word he's saying any more than he believes what I'm saying, but I know that what I'm saying is the truth. He doesn't. That's the difference between he and I. So we'll go on. If this is all starting to sound like just a touch too familiar, it's because it's spiritually akin to the modus operandi of Donald Trump, who, just in case you recently threw your computer away and started then abandoned your own agrarian society, is currently on track to be the GOP's nominee for president. That's very well written. I have one or two people I know who refuse to use computers. I don't talk to them. They expect me to call them after a three-hour show or schmooze with them in the morning. I know guys who are intelligent guys. Oh, no, I don't have an iPhone. No, I don't have a computer. Okay, well, I don't know you. How do you live in this world and not look at what's going on a computer? I know people who think that they're so superior to everyone else because they don't go on the web for news. What do they read, the San Francisco Chronicle? and that's their entire font of truth? This is what I'm you know people like this. You've probably met them, young and old. And it's their way of saying that they're superior to you. You understand that. It's a form of snobbism that's sickening. Because it's not snobbism, it's pure laziness. So anyway, we go back to the article. Savage makes Fox News at the molten core of its belligerence sound borderline Victorian. I love that. At the molten core of its belligerence sound borderline. It is Victorian. When you listen to Charles Sauerkrauthammer trying to get angry, you have to accept that that line is true, what this guy just wrote. When Sauerkrauthammer goes off on a tear, he sounds like a missy from Victorian era. Krauthammer at his best seems to be the mother in that Alan Bates movie with the up there at the Victorian house. What was that movie? What was that movie with Alan Bates? Psycho, right. Krauthammer at his most visceral is like the mother in Psycho, up in the attic there. And then he talks about, now, Trump is big theatrical, an actor who's played a pissed off guy so long he's forgotten where the act ends and reality begins. But it's not just any pissed off guy, he writes, this character. It's a pissed off guy at work with you, the alienated and disenfranchised member of the working class. It's also very familiar. Trump's oratorical melody, his off-the-cuff presentation, the way he's always giving a face that says, come on, let me turn the page, come on, they're sticking together, come on, I don't do speeches, losers do speeches. These are all terms of endearment to the right audience. Where the pundit class keeps screwing up when it comes to Trump is in overstating the man's novelty and otherness. His attitude has been around a while, just not in the places where the cameras like to go looking. And to suggest he's a new breed just alienates those outside the coastal media hubs. It creates a strangeness where many people don't see a strangeness. It reveals ignorance of huge swaths of America, or worse, deliberate oblivion. Now, what I'm seeing in this article, despite the fact that he smears me here and there, is that both of these writers come from those backgrounds. Both of these writers come from the real America. Yes, there is a real America. And in past times, immigrants would try to assimilate into the country that they were accepted into, not try to distort the nation and recreate the filth that they came from. And yes, I say filth that they came from, because no third world immigrant to this country wanted to stay in the hellhole he came from, or he would have stayed there. And so if you come here, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. Don't drag us down into the crap hole that you ran out of. That's the message, by the way, in case you missed it. You want to hear fire and brimstone? You just heard it. Don't tell me that third world cesspool you ran from to come to this great nation is the nation that you want to reproduce here. But that's just what you're doing by not learning English. That's just what you're doing by spitting on the flag. That's just what you're doing by mocking Americans. How's that for fire and brimstone? Now that I got your attention, liberals. Because if you want to live in these third world hellholes, that's just what you're creating. And let me tell you something. You're the first people that will be damaged by your dear friends from the third world, in case you don't know it. You look at what they've done in academia, because that's what's going to be done in journalism very soon, if it's not been done already. Every decent position of authority in academia has been taken and given to the most unqualified people in the United States of America, based not upon the qualifications of good management, good leadership, good character, but based upon the demographics that they perceive to be the important future of America. It is called affirmative action. And the academics who ushered this in upon themselves are shocked that it's happened in academia. But let me tell you something, all of my dear friends in journalism, whether you be in the left or on the right. You too will soon be replaced by a person that you welcomed into your own theater of the mind. And I stand by those words, because that's how it's happening. And that's why you're seeing articles like this. They recognize that they're next to go. So let's see now. I'll read a little bit. I'm enjoying this enormously. Again, we'll continue the art. Trump goes on Savage's show all the time, of course. They both love the idea of a wall, of course. And of course, their interviews aren't really interviews. This is nicely written. They're like two guys on a smoke break with a pocket flash. They're like two guys on a smoke break with a pocket flask of something cheap and awful and complaining about every single person who's not there and getting high off their own momentum. Well, it's well written, but of course it's nonsense for two reasons. One, because Trump doesn't drink alcohol. And two, because I never drink anything cheap and awful, my friend. What I drink costs an awful lot of money, probably more than you could imagine. Probably a single bottle of the cognac that I drink costs more than you earn in a month. But let's leave it at that. Savage says insane things to Trump, too, like, quote, in a world of malleable, changeable positions, we are like mountains, Donald, and they don't like mountains. They want to grind us down into sand. Did I actually say that? That's pretty good. I didn't say that. See, sometimes I say literate things that are so beyond me that I don't even know I'm saying them. I like that. In a world of malleable, changeable positions, we are like mountains, Donald, and they don't like mountains. They want to grind us down into sand. I like that a lot. I may use that in one of my books. When I come back, I'll ask you the question, why would MTV News and Salon be writing about me in almost now glowing terms? What are they really trying to do? And concurrently, why do you not see anything on so-called conservative sites about the power of the Savage audience? This is the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. I don't know what's wrong with me. I feel good. This is not good. It's not a good sign. Whenever I feel this good, something horrendous happens. But, okay, here I am. It's that I like the articles, because they're about me, of course. I'd be lying if I said otherwise, and I try not to lie on the radio. Notice I say try. I'm as skeptical as you are, believe me, but I'm more skeptical than you may imagine, even of, well, let's just say the whole media government complex and which sides people are really on, because I don't trust anybody in the media, anybody, except myself, because to thine own self be true. I know that I am not in anyone's pocket. I know no one's promised me anything, and that's all I can tell you. So I'm going to continue with this, taking your calls on these subjects, because I think there's a bigger story here than the stories themselves, which is why would these left-wing blogs or, I don't know, publications suddenly write about me in somewhat glowing terms? Why? What are they trying to do? What do they sense that's going on? Something is going on. And the fault lines, as I say, are no longer left and right, no longer liberal conservative, no longer Democrat Republican. The fault lines are almost like an earthquake where there's no single fault line. Suddenly you say, wow, I'm safe. You know, the earthquake happened and I'm on this side of the chasm. And then suddenly the piece of earth you're standing on starts to shake and it breaks apart. That's what's going on in America right now. Many of you don't know if you're on solid ground. And so you're starting to look around and saying, wait a minute, hold it, who's the anchor for me? Who is the anchor for my mind? Because my mind is going here, I don't know which way to turn. I don't know whether to jump across the chasm or stay here. Anyway, that's one man's opinion. I'll be back to take more calls right here on the Savage Nation. One more hour, be here.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
People strewn all over the road. Whatever. Welcome back to the show. I don't want to drift into nostalgia right now because I know it's the most popular element of the show and why I do it. So I want to read you something that just came across my Facebook page. It says, Savage, I'm sitting here in my pitch dark room listening to your show. I like the lights off so I'm able to really tune into your teaching. I'm amazed. I've been a student of yours for over 15 years, and I don't believe I've ever heard an uninteresting moment. I ask myself, how can this be? Where does this guy's energy come from? How does he do 3 hours a day and is never dull or uninteresting? It's superhuman. Surely the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has been very good to you. I hope you give him thanks and glory for what he has given you to influence so many people in a good way. Well, Patrick Henry, whoever wrote that, it is all God's will. And as I said at the outset of the show, and the two fellas who work on the other side of the screen down in Dallas, and I'm in San Francisco, Robert Borowski and Jim Verde can attest, because I'm on candid camera all day long here, they see me pray at the beginning of a show. I raise my two hands up to heaven, and I say a short prayer to God, and I ask him to let me bring his energy down to me and not make an idiot of myself, basically. Every day, similar kind of prayer. And the days that I don't do it, I'm not as good as the days I remember to do it. So the answer is, sure, it's God's will. For me, I didn't say God. I didn't say God. It's God's energy. Every religion on earth tries to tap into the energy that's out there. I don't care if it's shamanism. I don't care if it's the usage of psychedelic drugs. Every religion that I've ever studied is reaching for an energy that we all know is in the cosmos around us, and trying to tap it into the human form, our human form, us, and give us the strength to go on. Whether it's the warrior going into battle who prays to Jesus on the battlefield, which used to be permitted until this monster took over the military and destroyed it from within, or the boxer in the ring who goes in the corner and crosses himself and prays to God, or the IDF soldier who wraps tefillin on his arm and prays to the God of Abraham to give him the strength to defeat the enemies that would destroy him and his family. It doesn't matter. Every religion that I know of anyway tries to tap into some kind of energy. And it's true in any endeavor of life, I believe. It's why the churches still have churchgoers. It's why, well, I can't finish the thought and run down the line here. I'm not writing anything, I'm just speaking. So I'm energized today by a number of things, one of which are the two articles I've been reading from, the MTV News article and the Salon article. You say, well, why are you going on and on? They're the enemy, aren't they the enemy? Well, there's your problem. Your problem is that you predetermine who your enemy is. Your problem is you've locked yourself into a little box thinking that you're a purist conservative and you're throwing the key away. You think that your view is the only view in the universe. And you won't let anyone else in, and you wonder why you keep losing elections. If you keep spitting in people's faces, why should they listen to you? If you keep telling them they're garbage, why should they listen to your viewpoint? Say, well, you've done the same thing. Well, I have. I've made mistakes. But my show has matured over the years. Those of you who have listened to me have seen an evolution. And, you know, a human being is supposed to evolve, not get stuck like a rigid piece of salt. Don't look back, right? You turn to a pillar of salt. Isn't that in the Bible? Isn't that the metaphor of don't look back? Yeah, well, that's what it means. So stop looking back at the Godfather or the Founding Fathers or the Forefathers or the Backfathers. And start looking right in front of your nose and see what's going on in this fractured nation of ours, I say. That's what I say. That's my way of things. Everyone has their own way of approaching it. But today I'm energized. You say, well, where do you get the energy from? I just told you the answer. It doesn't come from the eggplant and tofu or the Mongolian beef I just ate. I would say it helps, though. I eat the right things. I take the right vitamins. I bicycle twice a day. I try to not go insane. I do my best to avoid going off the mental cliff every day. Not easy. Awful lot of temptation out there to go nuts in our society, isn't there? I mean, you could slap onto the wrong website and go crazy looking at the politics that are out there. You can go nuts if you let yourself, but you have to learn to put up what I call guardrails. You need guardrails every time you open up that internet. I don't care what site you go on, you better put up some guardrails. Or you gaze too long into that canyon of the internet, you're going to fall off the cliff. So put up the guardrails and get ready for another hour here on the Savage Nation. Because I'm about to take you on another ride along the pathways that we've already begun. So let me finish this up here. I was reading from the Salon article, now I'm reading from the MTV article. And he says, Savage says insane things to Trump too, like, quote, in a world of malleable, changeable positions, we're like mountains, Donald, and they don't like mountains, they want to grind us down into sand, unquote. They write, Savage was a problem for the GOP establishment. Trump is a problem for the GOP establishment. If you hang around the mainstream political arena too long, you'll begin to think both men are grotesques that cannot be celebrated nor possibly draw enough crowds and followers to elicit comment. But neither man is a problem for those angry people in those certain towns. You remember them. Trump and Savage have presented us with two devils, a rigged electoral system where old money power brokers select the generations of presidents in lavishly appointed boardrooms without our input, and a spectral conception of immigrants worthy of D.W. Griffith. Not novel ideas, not invented by them, but they did a great job of selling them with fists in the air and eyes wide open. Now we have a mass movement in our hands, and the tide has brought the water to our porch and washed away our lawn furniture. That's why scandals don't stop them. That's why the weak foundation beneath all their sloganeering doesn't matter. You don't have to cite your sources when you have a devil. I don't know what he means by that. He cuts off his own argument because he almost agreed with me. What he's saying is his lawn chair got washed away. What he's saying, this writer, is that his comfort zone was just flooded. And he's floating around now, and he doesn't know what to do because the very people he came from, as he says, towns like his in every corner of the country that he mocks. He says Michael Savage's books are the type of books a kid in the right kind of town might find on the bookshelf of an uncle who knows where all the Air Force bases are. You know, next to a Time Life commemorative volume of moon landing photos and a decorative encyclopedia. I'm sorry. I laugh at it because it's very funny. That means this writer came from that kind of house. He ran from it. He cut his hair off, he put on a nose ring, and he thought he'd be wild and free, and now he wishes he was back in that little house with an uncle who knows where all the Air Force bases are, where the Time Life commemorative volume of moon landing photos and a decorative encyclopedia set that still sits somewhere in his mother's attic gave him stability instead of reading books that are gibberish, that make no sense. That's what I see. Anyway, what do you see as the point? Let's take some callers. And by the way, anyone who gets on the show gets a choice today from column A or column B. Not either eggplant and tofu or Mongolian beef, but Government Zero or Teddy and me. So let's go to Bonnie on WJR. Bonnie, what's your comment, please?
Yeah, hi. I think those two people that were writing about you earlier were writing vicariously about you so they could talk about Trump. I mean, let's face it, they're controlled by the media and can only say certain things. But you can pull out all the stops and say whatever you want. As you've said, you're not being controlled by anyone else. And I think there's tremendous jealousy in this little political play where they know that you two people are so real and on the forefront. It's like they're grabbing at straws to shake you down, all these other ones that are coming against you or him.
What you say, I agree with up to a point, but I think that there's another element to what you're observing. I think these writers are actually expressing their agreement with my position by saying, I'm making it, but don't take them seriously, but they really agree with me. I think that their world is so shaken by what they see they have wrought that they're trying to give voice to those of us who want to stop the insanity.
Yes.
Any, in your opinion, any truth to that, or you see it all negative?
No, that's exactly how I see it, that they wish that they could do what you're doing. They would like to be able to take that stance, but I think they're not in a
position. That's what I'm saying. They could never take that stance, so they have to do it by quoting me or Trump and then sort of sneering at it, saying it's not their viewpoint, or they wouldn't have a job for another second on Salon or MTV. But in essence, they wouldn't talk about it if they didn't agree with it to a certain extent. I think that's an accurate appraisal. That's why I'm reading it today. And so you have a choice from column A or column B. Do you want Teddy and me or Government Zero?
Oh, Government Zero, thank you. You remind me of Lou Gordon. And I love your pictorials.
Wait, who is Lou Gordon? I don't know who he is.
Lou Gordon from years ago. I'm 64. When I was young, my dad watched Lou Gordon, who was exposing what big business was doing behind the scenes. And so
I never heard of the gentleman, but he sounds like a great guy. Stay in the line, and you're getting a copy of Gov Zero. Let me take another quick call here. KSFO in my hometown of San Fran. Let me see if I can say it. Cisco. San Francisco. Hillary, what's on your mind?
Michael, I think this Salon article proved your long-running point that your streaming numbers are even larger than you, or the media can imagine. I'm that ignored 30, just like you in San Francisco, I'm that ignored 35-year-old white mom. And your streaming, it changed my life because I could listen to you at any point in the day. And now, like Trump, we can't ignore you anymore and we can't ignore your numbers. But I think they were always there because of the streaming, which the media...
Yeah, the streaming indicates my audience is probably closer to 20 million people a week, by my guesstimate. Because of all the people who listen to talk radio on Androids or iPhones, my numbers are 25 or 26 share. That means 26% of all people listening to talk radio, that's one out of four, are listening to Michael Savage. Rush Limbaugh, by comparison, is about a 12 or 13 share. He's got a vast audience in talk radio. He has 500 stations. I have about 250. So what I lack for in stations or number of hours, I make up for on the stream. I think that's what you're seeing here.
Michael, absolutely. And I wanted to tell you that I searched your number, and Google has your number wrong. So I want to tell all the millions of people listening that the first number that you see on Google is your old number.
Wait, what number of what?
The 449-8225.
What is that number?
That's your old number.
Oh, you mean the call-in number.
Google.
Yeah, the call-in number is 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282, if they want to call into the Savage Nation show. So you're getting Government Zero. I'll be back in a minute to take other calls right here on the Divine Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. So, on my Facebook page, Kathleen Ficarata writes, Michael Savage and Donald Trump have unmasked the Mardi Gras shareholders by cracking the coffin open that's full of dead men's bones. The media and the one-party political system will never be the same. Thank you, Michael, and thank you, Donald. We owe you both a debt of gratitude. You know, sometime this morning, someone close to me said that had you run for office, Michael, your positions would have been identical to Donald's. And I said, yeah. He says, but I said, I told you I never wanted to run for office. I told you from the beginning I'm not a politician. I told you shortly after I began a radio, I found out I don't like that world. I'm not a politician. Now, a lot of people in radio think that they're going to be president or a senator or a congressman. Maybe they will be. I'd vote for them probably. But I know it's not my calling. But I also said to this individual, who I respect enormously, I could never have done what Donald Trump has done for 1,000 reasons. One, he has the charisma on stage that I don't have. I have charisma of my own kind, but of a different kind. He has a different kind of power with audiences than I have. That's one. Number two, I said, and this is the most important one, I said he's had an organization around him for years, a vast army of employees who run things for him. I have no army of employees. I'm not a manager. I have no operation, so to speak, to put together overnight to run a campaign with, because I'm averse to that. Working with two or three people is hard enough for me. Just ask them. They're raising their hand and cheering right now, because I have always worked alone. I've worked alone as a little boy building models. In, you know, you say introvert, building models, wooden models, balsa wood models, plastic models. Leave me alone, Mom. Why aren't you out playing with the boys? Because I want to build models. And then I go play with the boys and wanted to go back and build models. I've always been that way, you know what I'm saying? But there's two sides, you know, to everything. Inside the introvert, there's the extrovert. Inside the extrovert, there's the introvert. We're not one presentation. We're like a diamond, all of us. We have many facets to our being. And we know how to emphasize one or the other. And we find out which part of the diamond shines brightest. We put that out to the world. So anyway, having said that, Donald's doing something that many of us had hoped for ages now. Is he the exact image of the man you thought would come along on the white horse to carry the banner of our nation, borders, language, and culture? Probably not. Does he fit the image of the working class male, for example, who has gravitated to him? Of course not. So why does that disqualify him? Just because he didn't grow up poor? Is that a crime against him that he does actually believe that he says, that he actually believes what he says? Do you think he must be lying just because he says it and he wasn't born poor? What sense does that make? Does it make sense to believe that any more so than it would be to believe that Barack Obama represents a poor black man? Even though he goes into the jive every time he wants to? He puts on the fake accent that he never actually had because he was raised as a upper middle class white kid in Honolulu by a grandmother who loved him. And then he found out when he was at Columbia University that when he became the black radical, oh man, did he get attention. He writes it in his own book. Don't call it hatred, call it reality. When he found out that he espoused communism and anti-Americanism, man, did they gravitate to Barry from Honolulu. And suddenly he became Barack. So don't think that he's real. What is real?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Comment just came in from Bryce Martin on my Facebook. It says, Michael Savage reading from left-wing articles about himself is some of the best radio I've ever heard. I'm dying. Now, why is this good radio? It's counter-programming, number one. The answer is twofold, why this is making for good radio. One, because the level of writing is superb. Even if I don't agree with some of the things they say about me or Donald Trump, the literary level is gratifying in a world where there's no literary value whatsoever. I rarely, if ever, see any literary value on the right side. It's very didactic, lumpen, two-dimensional, predictable. There's no life in it. And this has a life. So even if it's not, you know, great and glowing, it's lively, right? That's one. Two, because there's a subtext, the message. The talk radio godfather of Trumpomania, what Michael Savage can tell us about America's white working class. The headline says it all. What Michael Savage can tell us about America's white working class, it says it all. I come from the blue-collar background. I'm not inventing it. My father wasn't a lawyer. I wish he was a lawyer. I wish he did own a carton factory. I wish he did own a chain of businesses, but he didn't. He was an immigrant. He had a little store. I knew whatever happened in this world to me, I had to make happen. For that, I thank him, because he let me make it happen. Sort of. So what I'm saying to you is, the fact that I have been able to reach you for so many years, I want to thank you for it, for however long or short it may go on, because it's in God's hands, not mine. You identify with my message because, A, you know it's really my message, and two, because I come from that class. I'm not faking it. I come from that background. It's as simple as that. I speak for you. At least that's what I see going on out here. And so I have the same outrage that you do. And I articulate it for you and a half for years. Donnez plus clair le mot de la tribu. I never forget those lines from the French literature, Mallarmé. For those of you who speak French, and I'm not trying to show off, I did study French for 7 years, and I did study Spanish for 7 years. I had a classically great education in a, quote, working-class college called Queens College of the City University of New York when it mattered, when you really had to study something, and you really had to pass or fail, and I flunked the course here and there because I couldn't stand it. You know, I actually failed one course in undergrad. It made me stay an extra year. It was the year my father got a heart attack. I got a D or an F in genetics because I didn't want to accept any of the messaging from Genetics 101. Would you believe this? It affected my mind so much. I wanted a block that I too would be subject to the same frailties as my father. So I'll never forget the professor of genetics, who was the chairman of the department at the time, took me in his room at the end of May. And he said, Michael, I have some news for you. You're not passing this class. And because you're not passing this class, you're not graduating. What a nice guy he was. I said, well, look, whatever you have to do. I said, but my father had a heart attack. I had to go to work in a store. It doesn't matter. Gave me an F, and I had to stay over. I don't know what I had to do. But the point is, things happen, little things like that in your life, and you live with them. Big deal. You look back, it's nothing. It's a burp. So if you care to talk about these articles, please do so. What else do I have to say to that? I have a special new toupee for sale for you on my website. a new rug, a new shoes, new sandals, floor mats. How many different things can we sell you in talk radio? I don't even know. It's kind of like yuck factor. Just buy what the advertisers want you to buy. They pay for the bill. They pay the bills. It's that simple. DRC, Connecticut, Anthony, go ahead. What do you make of all this?
Dr. Savage, I'm one of your loyal followers. What I make of it is that you have touched the third rail of journalism. You realize you have moved these writers from their liberal to position to at least centrist. And what does this, what do you espouse? You espouse the truth. And the truth can never be suppressed. It will always surface.
But isn't it odd that left-wing publications of the type I have been reading from seem to get my message, even though in a mocking sense, while so-called conservative sites such as, need I mention, Dumbart or Newsmin, they don't even mention me anymore. What is that about? What's the censorship of Michael Savage all of a sudden by people who I thought were my friends? What happened there?
Because they're charlatans. They're charlatans. They're not sticking to the theme. Their interests aren't helping people. See, you're inspiring these people with your you have a very high IQ. And what it is, they're looking at you from disbelief or maybe even dislike. And now they look at you with awe. They're looking at you with awe. There is a thirst for knowledge in this country because people are sold, a bunch of garbage, as is being told today.
Would you consider yourself one of the white guys who's disenfranchised and feels like you've been left out and is Donald Trump who represents you? Would you call yourself one of those people?
Most definitely. I would fit in that category. I remember I had the same problems as you did years ago, when I was in my 40s, and the white American male was last on the totem pole in the job market. Even though you had superior qualifications, you were overlooked, and this was a fact. And today,
so when you were a kid, did you have an uncle who knows where all the Air Force bases are next to a Time Life commemorative volume of moon landing photos and a decorative encyclopedia set, as they write? Were you one of those kids with those kind of books in an uncle's house?
Yes, I was very much into reading. I just loved to read. I didn't like fiction, and I just loved facts.
Isn't that interesting? All right, so quickly. Column A or column B? Teddy and Me or Government Zero for free? Which one?
I already bought Government Zero. I have that. Excellent book. Excellent book.
So you get the Teddy book. Give it to a wife, a girlfriend, or whatever. Yeah, I like the writing. I like writing. I go where the art is. I go where the art is. I can't stand Robert De Niro's politics, but I like Robert De Niro as an actor. I cannot stand Martin Scorsese's politics, but I like his productions. I mean, I watch Vinyl, for example, on HBO, right? It's all about drug, sex, and rock and roll in the 70s. It is so well produced, so well acted, so well lit, that I enjoy watching it. In fact, the one episode where they went to Las Vegas to sell their airplane, I didn't like it all, and I figured out why afterwards, because the young people were not in it. It was all about the old guys going there to sell their plane, and it became so boring. I like the part in New York, in the record company, in Manhattan, where they're all trying to keep their company afloat, all the young people running around, what's going on in the company. I find that fascinating. Do I like their politics? No, I looked up every actor in the series. One after the other is a stumble-bum left-wing fanatic, at least they say they are, but I still enjoy their acting. It doesn't mean that I have to knock their acting because I don't like their politics. I think that's what you're seeing here. Do you understand that? They don't have to try to devastate my performance and my ability to reach an audience because they don't like my politics. If they're just reporting on art in the media, they're reporting on me because I'm the best artist in the media, period, of radio. I mean, I believe that. I really have such faith in myself. And I know, okay, you're not, whatever. I know I am. There'll never be anyone like me again, ever. when I leave the airwaves. Nobody can replace me. Why am I saying that to you? I don't know why. I have no idea why I mention that. And I don't know, because it's like everything comes to, you know, everything comes to a conclusion. It's as simple as that. Either by its natural, by the natural force of things, or by outside forces. Everything comes to a conclusion. Nothing is forever. And whether it's today, tomorrow, a year from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now, everything comes to a conclusion. Do you understand? There's a continuum. There's a beginning, a middle, and an end to everything. There's a first act, a second act, and a last act to everything on earth. Whether it's we in our corporal form or our animals in their corporal form, corporeal form, you could say corporal form. I mean, I'm not a military guy, but I should have said corporeal form. But the word corporal comes from the same root word as corporeal, because it bases itself upon the fact that both the corporal and the corporeal are tentative. That was a nice save, wasn't that? It was pretty good. That's verbal gymnastics while jumping on a high wire. You know, one of the things that keeps me doing radio, you know what it is? You just heard it in essence. I test myself every day to see if I can walk the high wire and still make sense. I enjoy it. Do you understand that you have to enjoy it? It's like the art of the... Okay, Donald wrote the art of the deal. I like the art of the conversation, the art of thinking out loud. It's one of the greatest challenges a person can have, which is an unscripted radio show and not making a complete idiot of yourself, or better yet, actually making people enjoy you and listen to you and do something about it. So, yes, it's a challenge. I was asked by someone in my family, let's see, how can I say this in a way that isn't too revealing or too embarrassing? Like, why do you do radio? They said, why do you keep doing this? It's 3 hours a day. What are you doing this for? Your numbers are great. You're number one in streaming radio. You're doing great on the big stations. But why do you do it? Do you do it for the money? They said, you don't really need the money when you think about it. You could have retired a while ago. You worked so hard. You had nothing to begin with. You made a life for yourself. Why don't you just, you know, do something else or do nothing? I said, because you just said it like it is. There is nothing. This is what I do. Why would a man stop doing what he does when he's doing it well? And that's my answer to him. And also the answer is, because I enjoy this. I enjoy challenging myself every day. How do you put this to someone who doesn't understand this? Maybe everyone understands it. Maybe the pilot who gets up in the morning and says, they say, why are you still flying those big jets back and forth to London? How do you keep yourself going? Why don't you retire? Come on, you got 25 years or 20 years at United or whatever. You can pack away 150 grand a year in a retirement, whatever. Why don't you just leave? Guys, it's because I love flying. I love putting on my uniform. I love combing, brushing my hair, putting on my uniform. I love shining my shoes. I love walking down the walkway and seeing the passengers as I enter the pilot's cabin. I like the attendants on the plane. They're nice people. I love looking at the instruments. I love hearing the engines turn over. It sends a thrill through my spine when I fire up those four engines. You know, are there any other questions? Because any pilot will tell you that they have to love what they're doing, or they're going to not be very good flyers for too much longer. They'll make some mistake that'll kill them and everyone else. So the day you get bored with what you're doing, you better find a way to not get bored. And you better challenge yourself in whatever you're undertaking. Challenge yourself in new ways. I mean, that's my little homily, my little petty message to you. Oh, you've heard it before. I get it. It's nothing new. Challenge yourself. Break through to the other side. Do something new in the same thing that you're doing. You know what I'm saying? I didn't mean to go there. I didn't mean to get too preachy. But I'm just into this thing. Because right after the show is over, I got to race out of the studio. I have a very important appointment with a dentist. Now, as I tell you, you know how much people love dentists. But that's where I'm heading, Teddy and I, right to the dentist chair. He doesn't know it, but he's not going to the dentist chair. He was there 2 months ago. I have a feeling what's going to happen to me happened to him in the near past. And here they go again, another implant. But thank God for implants. But this time I don't want one from a cadaver. I told the dentist, no cadaver. He gave me a choice, a cadaver implant or a synthetic. I said, I don't want a psychopath's bone in my mouth. Please. Imagine something as ghoulish as that in dentistry. They give you an implant, a tooth, a fake tooth made out of a bone from someone from a crypt. You don't know who the bone came from. I don't want that. The DNA of that other person is going to be in my head. Well, no. It's sterilized, neutralized, homogenized, plagiarized, so you don't have to worry about it. I said, yeah, I don't want it. Give me synthetic. So he put it in my head about 5 years ago. I had to leave radio for a few days. I'm the only one in history that does not let medical things stop me from doing a show. If I ever tell you when I've gone on the air with stuff, I had a tooth implant one day and was on the air the next day. I told him, give me a temp so it shouldn't affect my tongue and my glottal stops. The dentist was so good, you didn't know I was on the air with a fake tooth before he put the real one in. That was 4 years ago. Then I had an emergency 2 years ago. That would have, another man would have been out of the business forever. I went back on the air the next day. The neurologist said to me, how did you do it? He said, I have patients who had this happen to them in 1978. They're still paralyzed. I said, how did I do it? Ask yourself how I did it, because there's no medical answer for it. Okay, anyway, be back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. It is the Savage Nation. Let's see, headlines. You can get them anywhere else. You can get them on some websites. Trump, Cruz, Trump, Obama, Hillary, Hillary, Bernie, Hillary. Wonderful. Priebus, Cribbin, Priebus this one, Priebus that one. I don't want to talk about it already. We had another one the other day. Again, day and night. This is it till the rest of my life. If you have to get up every day and know what you're going to be doing for that day for the rest of your life, how can you get up in the morning? How can you get up knowing you have to talk about the election for the rest of your life? Because come the election's conclusion, are you going to still talk about the election, Michael? No. So after the primaries, I stopped talking about until the next primary. You want to read about it? Go ahead, read all about it. There's websites given to this stuff. Day and night. Brussels bomber worked in EU Parliament. I'm shocked by that. I wonder how many sympathizers of ISIS work for our government right now in various departments. Anyone think about that one? How's that message? How many people around Obama are sympathizers of ISIS? Why has Obama continued the big lie that the Iran deal would prohibit them from developing missiles when Iran said Obama lied about that? Who do you believe, Iran or Obama? My friends, that explains why the intelligentsia of the other side has heard my siren song. Because they realize that one nuclear dirty bomb can ruin your day, and that radioactive material does not discriminate between progressives and conservatives. Have a nice night.